I'm Kim.
And I'm Ashley.
We're entrepreneurs.
We're moms.
And we chase our coffee with LaCroix.
So welcome to Seeking Balance, a podcast for mom entrepreneurs,
where we attempt to redefine work-life balance by having conversations about owning a business, life at home, and self-care.
So hang with us while we talk raising babies and business.
Hey, Kim.
Hey, Ashley.
What's new?
What's new with me? Say that right.
Okay. That's good. You're very consistent, and people love consistency.
I know. So I am following, there's like a blogger, social media person I follow called Rachel Hollis. Okay. She owns the Chic site, and she did a 90-day end-of-the-year challenge, so the last 90 days of the year, and she's challenging you to do 5 things. And they're kind of difficult for me, but I'm doing them, and so far I'm loving the results. So the first one, which is the hardest for me, is to get up an hour early than you normally do every day.
Nope, I'm out.
And, I know. And take that time to do something just for you. So whether it's meditating, working on the book you're working on, whatever you need to do just sitting there, you need to do for yourself. And I am not a morning person, but I've been making myself do it. And it's just been amazing how different my day is in the getting started. And I'm loving it, even though I hate when the alarm goes off, which for me is 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Okay. So number 2, drink half your body weight in ounces of water, which is everybody knows is good for you. Mm-hmm. And I don't always get it in, but I am choosing water more often than I did before. Getting 30 minutes of exercise in a day. Every day.
This is a tough challenge.
But it doesn't have to be a workout. It can just be, I'm going on a walk. I'm playing with my kids actively. I'm jumping on a trampoline. Whatever. Just something to like move your body 30 minutes a day.
Yeah.
So just know that you're not being sedentary. Giving up one category of food that you know that's bad for you. So whether that's fried food or dairy or just something that you know that you probably shouldn't be eating, sugar, desserts, whatever. Pick what works for you and stick with it. And the last one, and I knew I would forget one, is, oh, write 10 daily gratitudes.
Oh, that is so life-changing.
Yeah. So I've been mostly sticking to it. I mean, it's only been since October 1st, so it's only been a couple weeks. But except I'm not doing that early wake up on the weekends. Because that seems silly.
Okay, but do you know that everything I've read says that you're healthier when you keep your weekend time, wake up the same as your weekend?
Yeah, I can't do it.
She's like, I don't care. Thanks for dating you.
I'm doing it on the weekdays when I have to get up with my kids anyway. So I get up an hour earlier. Before, I would get up when they had about 15 minutes to get to the bus stop. Mm-hmm. And we would be like, come on, get dressed. You have 15 minutes. Eat at school. Mm-hmm. And now it's just like calm and we have time to do stuff and I have the morning without anybody drinking my coffee. So anyway, that's what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm. So it reminds me of this quote that I used to have on the fridge that said, Mama sets the tone.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had to remind myself, like, truly I set the tone for the morning.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably where that comes from.
Yeah. So lovely. It's been good. So hopefully I can stick with it. But and I guess the whole point is instead of like letting the last part of the year, usually you just let everything go and eat everything you want with Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then I'll start over the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. This is like, let's do the end of the year. But that's kind of the point.
Yeah, love it.
All right, so what's new with you?
I'm actually going to talk a little bit differently than I expected. This week we took my youngest daughter for some allergy testing. When we were on our girls' weekend, which was so fun, she had a really bad reaction to a food of watermelon, which okay. My 4-year-old is also allergic to. But she continued to have reactions, and poor thing bloodied her pillowcase from scratching so bad. Aww. So I was like, okay,
yeah,
we're done. And found out that she's allergic to wheat and watermelon, like our 4-year-old, and also chocolate, which I am mourning.
Yeah.
My nephew is allergic to chocolate, and my sister-in-law acted like that was no big deal. Like, she was like, okay, that's fine. And I'm like, but chocolate. So my family has had some really kind of deep conversations this week about, like, why we're not having these things in our house anymore, why we've decided to just empty the house of things that we know could be dangerous or not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
The older kids are not loving it. They don't think it's fair.
Yeah.
But the other thing that's happened, and I hate to say this, is that I've lost weight this week. Because I have taken wheat out of my diet. And okay. I knew that that was something that I should do. And now, ta-da, I have to.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about this just because not only is it kind of life-changing for us, but because I think a lot of times food allergy parents feel very alone.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know the stigma that comes with it. Like, other parents will talk about you like, well, why can't my kid have that in class because your kid is allergic?
Right.
They just don't get it. And so I like to talk about it and make it just part of our lives. So that people understand that, one, you're not alone, and people who don't have food allergies in their family understand this is not, like, something we're doing for, like, fun.
Right, right.
Or to get attention. Like, this is truly about the health of our children.
Yeah.
So, it was a little more deep than, you know, usual, but, yeah, it's really important to me for people to understand about food allergies, particularly with Halloween coming up.
Right.
So if you don't know about the Teal Pumpkin Project, definitely look into that. And I will post something on the Seeking Balance podcast hangout about the Teal Pumpkin Project.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect.
Okay. So this week,
we're
turning it around. And Kim is going to get the game wrong.
No.
I'm kidding.
I'm ready.
Watch. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So this week, we comes from an article I read on Businesswoman Media, thebusinesswomanmedia.com, called 5 Top Tips for Mom Entrepreneurs.
Okay.
Now, I've just taken 3 of their top tips and added one of my own. And you have to guess which one.
You added.
I added. Okay.
Ready.
Tip number 1, focus on what you know and love.
Okay, that seems like a good idea.
Okay. Tip number 2. Use good planning and time management skills.
Okay, that seems good as well.
Tip number 3. Start small.
Okay, that's a good idea, but you don't have to, so that's a maybe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Tip number 4. Lean on your support system.
That also seems good. I'm going to guess. Oh, let's get this ready so you can do yes or no. I'm going to say number 3 because starting small, well, I think is a good plan, and I would recommend it. I don't think you have to.
Okay. You got it.
Oh, my God.
Right.
I knew it.
Because not all ideas can start small.
Right.
I think there are people that can grow into a business. Certainly that's how my business has grown.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are businesses that are big ideas and they require big execution.
Right.
So as much as I wanted you to lose, even though I love you, yeah, good job. That was correct.
Awesome. That was fun. I like being there.
Uh-huh.
Answer.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Next week, I'm going to make it harder. So this week, actually, Kim will not be with us for our interview.
Yes.
Kim, where are you going?
I am going to chaperone my kindergartner's field trip.
Woo-hoo.
So I am practicing what I preach and balancing my life and making time for my kids.
I love it. Have a great time. Oh, tell the listeners what you're wearing today, which is way creepier than I meant it to come out.
I am wearing my overalls, guys, my favorite outfit, overalls. And then I threw on a cardigan, an orange one, because it seems fall. And I think it looks cute. I'll see if I can take a picture for you.
Yes, it's super cute and not at all what I remember from the 90s. So, loving it.
Thank you. All right.
Today on the show, we have Jennifer Askier, co-founder of Swell Marketing Group and queen of her household. So welcome. We're so glad to have you.
Thank you for having me. And we said it in the intro, but Kim is not here today because she is really doing work-life balance today, and she's on a kindergarten field trip, which sounds like misery to me, but good for her. So, Jennifer, tell us about your family.
Sure. I have three sons and a husband, so that's what makes me queen of the house. I remember one of them, I can't remember which, had pointed that out to me years ago. We were talking, I think we were actually in London, and he made the connection that I was the queen of the house, and that always stuck with me. So I have an 11-year-old son who's in the fifth grade. I have a 9-year-old son in the third grade, and I have a 6-year-old in the first grade. So I'm past the kindergarten field trip days, thankfully.
Yeah. Do your kids still want you to go and do things with school, or is that over? Are those
days
gone?
What? They do. And I do love it. It makes me feel great when their friends are happy to see me as well. I sort of feel like a local celebrity. So I do make a point of trying to be balanced and get into each of their classrooms and participate when I can.
That's great. Do you, so they go to regular 9-to-whatever-3 school?
Yeah. So the town I live in, we have one public school system, and it's a K through second, and then there's a 3rd through 5th, and then the middle school is actually in the high school.
That's an interesting breakdown. That's really different from where we live.
Mm-hmm. And very different from how I grew up, for sure. My high school was enormous, but our town is small, and it's nice.
Yeah. Are those your primary work hours when the boys are at school?
Yeah, it varies. I have a business partner. She's on the West Coast. I mean, part of the benefit of working for yourself is that you can be flexible when you need to be. And I do less right now, but more last year. I did do a lot of work at night. Because of the nature of the scopes that I was working on, I was able to do that. So it varies. But this year, I am definitely being much more intentional with my time and trying to structure things when they're in school.
Mm-hmm. How does that work, having a business partner that is on a different time zone?
It works. We're always on the phone together. I don't know anything any different. She's an early bird, so... I had a meeting in Boston yesterday at 9 a.m. and she participated via call. And there are times where after I put my kids to bed, if we have a client on the West Coast, I'm able to hop on a call. So it works out pretty well. One of us is always available and we like each other. So.
And how did you guys meet?
We worked together at Taco Bell. So we both worked for Taco Bell for a very long time. I worked for them for 13 years. I started out in their corporate office. And even before then, I worked for their ad agency. And I went client side and I worked on new product development, which was a ton of fun. And I got to eat a lot of food and travel all over the country and mystery shop and go to focus groups at night. And so some of the items that are on the Taco Bell menu board, I had a hand in, which was fun. And then I had the opportunity, and I also had a personal passion to relocate to the Northeast. And I was able to be a regional marketing manager. And so I moved to Boston and I worked directly with all the field marketing, with all the franchisees in the Northeast East region, which was such a great experience and really helped me connect the dots between putting together a recommendation and the reality of a financial impact of that recommendation. Then my third job, and this is where I met Sally, my business partner. I mean, I knew her before, but we started working together. The brand wanted to get more serious about their charitable foundation, and Sally had been working in PR for Taco Bell for over 10 years. And so she led the charge and kind of took the helm. And as the foundation and the work started to grow, she needed some more support. And I had always expressed interest in charitable aspects of the business and being involved in that. And so she and I started working together and it was just tremendous. It was actually really entrepreneurial because it wasn't the core business and we were essentially building from the ground up and we were able to define a burning platform for the brand and engage all the franchisees and other stakeholders in raising money to help programs that benefited teens. It was a great run, and the company restructured, and they wanted to bring we both were working remotely, and they wanted to the foundation to live in the office, and that didn't make sense for our personal lives. And so we decided that it would be wonderful to try to do what we did for other companies. And that's what we did a little over 4 years ago. We started Swell.
And so you both left corporate America at the same time?
We did. It was my Sally was 7 months pregnant. and I was turning 40. So it just felt very, it felt very symbolic.
Mm-hmm. And scary, I would imagine.
It was scary, but I mean, for both of us, we have wonderful supportive husbands, and we have a great professional network. And so I think, and we had each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt less scary.
That's wonderful. Do you guys have to occasionally meet in person just to go over things? Tell me about that.
We love it. We do try to make a point to see each other at least once a quarter. And a lot of times it's more frequently. Last year we had a client that was based in Southern California, and it involved a lot of client service, and she's in Sacramento. So it was a quick flight for her. A longer flight for me, but one I didn't totally mind making, especially in the winter. So we saw each other at least once a month last year, which was great. But we always try to get together towards the tail end of the year and, you know, plan and get re-energized for what's ahead.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking about the logistics of, even down to to schedule it. Yeah. I guess that you guys are relying on internet technology more than other business partnerships are, where you can walk to the office next door and just say, hey, are you okay with this? Yes, no, whatever. So tell me, what systems are you guys using?
Yeah, I mean, we use, first and foremost, we have a wonderful relationship. And I think we are able to finish each other's sentences and generally know when each other speak. And I think because both of us had worked as field-based employees for Taco Bell for so long, you get used to working remotely and doing business over the phone, which was initially hard. I still remember my very first conference call with a group of Taco Bell franchisees. And, you know, I was like, all right. And I, you know, presented a marketing recommendation, and there was just like crickets on the other line. And, yeah, you realize quickly, all right, I need to hop on an airplane and go see these people and meet them in person so they know that there's an authentic, intelligent person on the other end of the line. So I think for Sally and I, knowing how to conduct business on the phone has made us effective. I think that, we text, we use Google, we have a shared drive. And those are, you know, the calendar. I mean, those are the main things.
And so tell me about how your clients find you guys, because it sounds like you have clients kind of everywhere, since it doesn't matter where they are.
Yeah, I mean, we have a specific niche because of our background in restaurants, and we have an awesome network of people that we know from our days of working with Taco Bell who have gone on to do other things. And part of it is just keeping those relationships and conversations going over the years. I mean, our cycle for getting business is long, is longer than I think we realized when we first started, because of the nature of the work that we're doing is more cause marketing related or community related. And sometimes that's not always seen as, you know, contributing directly to ROI. So you'll get a meeting and people will nod along and be like, this is great. Yes, yes. But then it just takes time for it to come to fruition. So coming back to your question, I think a lot of it is just networking and paying attention to what's going on in the trades and seeing opportunities to reach out. There's a big component of business development for us.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that entrepreneurs find it difficult to do is to network without being inauthentic. You know, like just making connections in a very organic way. So what are the ways that you're meeting people and getting your brand name out there?
So, I mean, I love networking. I wish I could get paid to network. I think it's, I love people. I think too, when you work from home, and you know, mostly by yourself, I welcome the opportunity to get out and talk to people. I love learning about what they're doing and what their goals are and their challenges. I mean, a lot of what we're doing is in the charitable space, which is near and dear to my heart. And so I think it is authentic because I genuinely care about getting to know these people and what they're doing.
Absolutely. Are there groups that you're attending? Are there online spaces? Is it organic?
It's organic. I should be better. I mean, I could be better.
We could all be better.
All of those things. But I pay, you know, I just pay attention. Like if I see a company that is interesting, like we were driving home from a soccer tournament this weekend and I saw a company and I was like, oh, that looks cool. I looked it up and, you know, they're on my list to reach out to because I liked what they were doing once I looked them up. So it's for me a little more organic than doing any of the networks and things like that.
Mm-hmm. I think Kim, who could not talk for herself, so I'll speak for her, is really good at attending networking events and things like that. And that just sucks the life right out of me.
Yeah, so, I'm the same.
Yeah, I would rather just strike up a conversation with somebody in Starbucks and be like, oh my gosh, I like your shoes. And guess what I do for a living?
Totally. I'm the same way. I joke the first year that I was looking to build, you know, the business, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so over caffeinated. Like 3 coffee meetings a day.
Exactly. And knowing that and knowing where your strengths lie really helps you just sort of funnel that energy, because I think people can tell when you're faking it personally.
Totally. And that's why, like you, I find the networking events to be more challenging because they're more of a forced situation. And I'm much better one-on-one.
Agreed. So what are the biggest mistakes that you think people are making when they are setting up their marketing campaigns, particularly for charitable causes, but for really for anybody? What big mistakes are you seeing right now?
I think that there's no bad causes and there's no, you know, bad issues. I think we always come from a company perspective of what is your brand stand for as an issue and not necessarily who's your charitable partner. Mm-hmm. So I think we'd like to see more of that.
Is that how you designed your business?
Yeah. I mean, that was, I think from our experience in working at Taco Bell, they have a wonderful charitable partner. It wasn't until the brand started raising money around a specific issue. And it's a ball, but at the time it was helping teens graduate high school. And certainly that is that's more of a vision. And the reality of that is very complex and makes your head hurt when you think about it. But when the brand decided to hang their hat on that issue, then all of a sudden you can start to see, all right, well, we're going to assemble and convene some of the best charities out there and some of the programs, and it gives them the ability to do stuff in the community. And that is really our big passion. It is marketing consultants is helping brands create a connection in the community. Because oftentimes you have a strategy, but if it doesn't make it all the way down to that local storefront, and your employees that work there aren't engaged in what it is you're trying to do, then it's for naught. So I think that's, I wouldn't say it's a mistake. And again, there's so many wonderful charities out there, but I think as a brand and a company, there's such an opportunity for you to talk about who you are and what you stand for. And then you can find those partners that can help you achieve that impact.
Mm. you know, you mentioned something that sparked a thought for me for employee buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
Just the idea, and I was having a conversation with a physician yesterday who was like, I have this really great passion for what I'm doing, and it doesn't feel like my employees are doing the same. And mm-hmm. so we had a long conversation about employee buy-in is visible to your customer, be them a patient or the lady that works the cash register, you know.
They're the face of your brand. They are mm-hmm. the face of your brand. And we spent a lot of time creating employee engagement programs for that very reason.
Mm-hmm. How does a brand know when they are, quote unquote, big enough to need outside help? Because I think one of the things as mom entrepreneurs that we worry mm-hmm. about with bringing in another company is it's just me. I'm a solopreneur. I don't know if mm-hmm. I'm ready to take that step or not.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had the opportunity to moderate a panel last week, and the audience was nonprofits, and they were looking for best practices on how to engage with businesses, big and small. And I love the way the panel was set up because there were two case studies, a company and a nonprofit each. And one of them was a large company with a, you know, foundation and many charitable partners. And then the other example was a smaller company with one charitable partner. And I think the most important thing that I heard it and it just reminded me because we've, you know, and the clients that we worked with, it's so important to have it come from the top and have it be a part of the company's whoever, you know, the leadership, a part of the company leadership, and have it be a priority for them. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, from, because it will never stick if it's not. And so to bring, you know, bring help in, it can be as big or small as you want it to be. But at the end of the day, it has to be set up in a way that's realistic for the size of the company. So we've done, you know, we've come in and helped just, I think having a third party perspective is actually often helpful for companies because, like I keep saying, there's no bad charity and no bad cause. And so sometimes it becomes very subjective. So, you know, or there's pet projects. Sometimes it's good to have a third party come in. And I mean, always the first part of our process is stakeholder interviews, because that really just level sets the conversation for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be interesting to me to see what causes, like, that's a pet project, but that is not relatable, and you're actually the only person who cares about that.
Yeah, so. Well, and that gets back down to the employee engagement piece, right? So if there's a disconnect and someone at the top really cares about this cause, but they haven't created a compelling reason for the employees to care, then, you know, it's just, it becomes a check the box type of exercise.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit about how you balance work life and home life and separating the two. I know you were working a lot in the evening, but when did you decide to switch that? What prompted that change?
I think I need sleep.
I really relate.
I think that just being more intentional with my time mm-hmm. and scheduling, using my calendar in a way where I'm trying to be more prescriptive about scheduling stuff. And all right, I'm going to work on a project for 45 minutes and then it's pencils down, and trying to just be more realistic about how long things take. So, and I'm also a big, I'm like, okay, this week I want to make sure everyone gets one play date and everyone gets, you know, I'm in each person's class one time. So that's how I try to think about things that way. Mm-hmm. And I always try to make sure I at least have 30 minutes minimum to myself.
Mm, tell me more about that. What do your 30 minutes include?
Well, it's a ball. Just in general, I think my power word for the year is one of evolution. I think, you know, wellness evolves depending on what's going on your life. I think your business evolves depending on what's going on in your life. So for me, I used to be very into running and training for marathons, and now wellness is very different for me because I don't have those hours upon hours to commit to running, and I actually don't even really enjoy it anymore. So I tend to wake up early. I love to ride my bike. I just started dabbling in yoga. I walk. I love being outside. I think for me to be outside and it re-energizes me, mm-hmm. and sets me up for the day.
You know, one thing that we've heard in the podcast over and over again, and I wish it weren't true, is that successful entrepreneurs wake up earlier than other people. And I really am waiting for somebody to come on here and say, you know, Ashley, I just sleep in every morning.
I am a morning person, though, and I always have been. So I think mom or not, or entrepreneur or not, I think my body clock is set up early.
Mm-hmm. It's going to happen one day that I'm going to get so serious that magically my body is going to like waking up early. Yeah. Today is not that day, but that is funny. But I think it's a valid point because self-care doesn't have to look one way, but it does have to involve some time. And so I think it's really wonderful that you've set apart that time every single day for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, someday I think when I think about my goals for my family, wellness is at the top. And so I think it's so important to model that out. So some days it's just like, hey guys, I'm going to go do some jumping jacks downstairs. You want to join me? Mm-hmm. I just need to move my body and have space for my thoughts.
Yeah. What are other family goals that you guys hold to be important?
Working hard and kindness. I think, wellness, kindness, and working hard are our guiding principles.
I love it. Kindness always wins is our family motto. And I feel like this world really needs a little more kindness in it. So
truly,
I think that's important. So talk to me about sibling rivalry. Having three boys, are they experiencing sibling rivalry or not?
You know, it's interesting. I would say this is the first year this summer where we did start to see it. And I know it's normal, but it's painful when it happens. My older son is, and I also think the birth order is alive and well in our house. And so my older son's very type A, hard charger, super, super competitive. And my middle son really looks up to him. And, there's those dynamics that play out. And then our youngest son's, he's just a love, and he just wants everyone to get along. So,
mm-hmm. Have you ever read Kevin Lehman's birth order book?
I haven't.
It's so good. Pick it up today and read it because it will tell you so much.
Yeah. But I think that's one of the things that is also so rewarding about being a parent is that how different they all are, mm-hmm. and being able to or try to nurture and guide their different gifts and help them with their different opportunities. It's just fascinating.
Agreed. I have four children. And so I often think, how did the four of you all come from the same two parents?
It's just mind boggling, truly.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to switch gears now and do our fast five. So I'm just going to ask you five questions really fast.
All right. Well, let's hear them.
Do you prefer a big night out or home in your jammies?
Home in my jammies.
Okay. What is your favorite Halloween candy?
Reese's peanut butter cup.
Me too. what is your least favorite kid age?
Three.
Oh. what job would you have if you weren't an entrepreneur?
I would work at the organic farm down the road from us.
Oh. And Mac or PC?
A Mac.
Very nice.
So which is fun.
Oh, yeah, go on.
I just have to say with the Mac, that was like our big statement when we started our business, because when we worked in corporate America, we were on a PC. And so we totally bought into the whole brand image of the Mac.
Mm-hmm. And once they get you on one product, you now own every product.
You got it. Yep.
Every time. So my family is decidedly Mac. Mm-hmm. And every time I need a new adapter, my husband's like, did you spend $60 at the Mac store today? I'm like, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Sorry yeah. about that.
Yeah.
Tell me about the organic farm. I'm so interested in that.
So I grew up with a garden. My husband coincidentally grew up with a garden. So I would say one of our family hobbies. And when we moved to our town, so we lived in the city and we did the city thing with one kid. And then we moved to the suburbs and our house is a quarter of a mile from an organic farm. And I think after our first son, or maybe we had two, we had decided that we wanted to take some gardening classes together. That was like our date day. I love the date day. Mm-hmm. It's so much less tiring. And so we did that, which was great because we'd both grown up in different climates and where we're living now. And, we have a pretty big size garden in our backyard. And I just think it's so awesome to be able to grow your food.
Mm-hmm. I think it is really cool. And I think it's cool how many families are teaching their kids about mm-hmm. growing your own food because we lost that for a generation, but it seems to be coming back.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. I mean, my husband, he's amazing and he's like, into the seed harvesting. I mean, it gets crazy, but it's fun.
That is really cool. He's really bought in to the seed if he's all the way there.
Yeah.
Well, as we wrap up, what advice would you give for a mom who is considering leaving her day job for entrepreneurship?
There would be two things. One is that I would recommend making sure that you have a network of people around you to support you, because I think there's there's more highs and lows than I would have anticipated. So making sure that you have resources out there that you can talk to about different things. And then I would also suggest, I mean, this is probably a little more if you make the leap, but you making sure that you make time to, and that, for me, I work from home. So making sure that you schedule time to get out of the house and take meetings and,
yeah, becoming a recluse is not the idea of entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just think I think when you leave, I loved working for a big company because the development opportunities were so amazing. And I think when you go to work for yourself, you have to create those. And so that would be probably my biggest piece of advice is creating opportunities to continue to develop and grow, whether it's through your network or meetings or whatnot.
That is really amazing advice. So thank you, Jennifer. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for spending your time with us on the podcast. We really love talking to you. How can people find you?
I think the best way to reach me would be through the website. And it is Swell, SWELLMG, as in marketinggroup.com.
Wonderful. Are you on social media?
I am on social media. We have a Facebook page and we have an Instagram page too.
Excellent. So we will put those in the show notes and we hope that you have an awesome day. Thank you for recording with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What a great interview. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry that you weren't here to record that with us.
No, that's okay.
That's all right.
That's all right.
So let's talk about what you're loving right now, Kim.
Okay. So I am loving the book that was one of the books that was recommended by Courtney mm-hmm. of Stencil Style, one of our last interviews. She recommended the book Start With Why by Simon Sinek. And I'm not quite finished with it. It looks like I'm at chapter 8 of 16, so I'm halfway through. And it is amazing. I'm not sure exactly yet how I'm going to put it into practice, but I feel like I need to. Like, I need to make sure for Milk and Baby that instead of focusing on, like, here's what we sell nursing clothes, we sell labor and delivery clothes. We need to focus on why we do it, about because we want moms to feel confident and feel beautiful and not provide them, because you know what you wear helps you feel good. And we do believe that all moms are beautiful and should feel beautiful. So I just feel like that's what I want to make sure everything we put out has that focus.
Okay. All right. You're inspiring me. You and Courtney together.
Yeah. Right. So you should. Yeah. So I'm going to, I don't know if I can get into the, hopefully we can maybe for like, into vision planning and all that kind of thing, maybe for the next year. That would be ideal, but we'll see.
Maybe you guys need a retreat.
That would be awesome. I've always wanted to do
I'll plan for you.
Thank you. All right. So what are you, Evan?
This is a really simple thing that I found at my local grocery.
Okay.
But they started carrying the Tessie Mae's, what are they called? On-the-go salad kits.
Okay.
And I fell in love with Tessie Mae's dressings when I was doing Whole30 because they are dairy-free, very, very clean. And these Tessie Mae salad kits, I think they're marketed retail at like $6 a piece, which would be a little more than I would like to spend.
Mm-hmm.
But they're usually on sale for like $4.
Right. Plus, if you went out to eat, you'd probably spend that much or more.
And that's what I've found. Mm-hmm. I had these grand intentions of like, I'm going to pack my lunch every day and take it with me. And then I never did.
Yeah, same.
and so I end up spending a little bit more money because I'm going out to eat at healthier places, frequently the Whole Foods salad bowl.
Mm.
And I can make a salad.
Yeah.
So I love these salad kits that come with everything you need except a fork. They come with salad and protein and dressing and everything.
Okay. I'll put a link in the show notes so people can see them because they look gorgeous.
They're delicious.
And yummy.
They're really, really good.
And where do you find them in the grocery store? Like what area?
They are in the pre-bagged salad area.
Okay.
But they come in a hard box, which I then wash and reuse because I'm a psycho.
You know. It's fine. All right. I think that's it for today.
Yes. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to Seeking Balance.
If you don't want to miss future episodes, be sure to click the subscribe button in Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you enjoyed this, why not tell a friend? We appreciate your help spreading the word.
You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Our Facebook group is called Seeking Balance Podcast Hangout. That's where you'll find us answering listener questions, meeting people, and discussing ideas.
If you want to see notes, photos, or links from this episode, just go to seekingbalancepodcast.com. You'll also see a support button at the top of the page. That will take you to our Patreon page. You can support us for as little as $1 a month and receive exclusive content. Thanks for your support!